Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, it's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here for the first 2 hours of the show, 6 to 8 a.m. Then Aaron is going to be going live from a remote location. You're not going to want to miss it. September 11th today, and boy, is it a dark day in America and a dark day in the world. Not only was there the Charlotte subway stabbing a couple of days ago, but then Charlie Kirk assassinated yesterday. And then today, the anniversary of September 11th, 2001. Kind of tough to be on an upbeat, positive note here this morning, but I suppose we can try. I don't think our phones are working, but you can send me a message on the Montana Talks app. I'll read it. So go onto your app store on your phone, download Montana Talks, send a message through there, and we'll get to it. President Trump sent out a message last night, a little video from the Oval Office. He said the great, and he sent out a Truth Social as well. He said the great and even legendary Charlie Kirk is dead. No one understood or had the heart of the youth in the United States of America better than Charlie. He was loved and admired by all, especially me, and now he is no longer with us, Trump wrote. Melania and my sympathies go out to his beautiful wife, Erica, and family. Charlie, we love you. Unfortunately, they also have not caught the custody. Apparently, the FBI arrested a couple of people yesterday, detained a couple of people, questioned them, and then let them go. You know, there's so much out there about blaming this on, you know, the rhetoric of the left and all these things they say. And, of course, I don't think it's helpful for the left and the Democrats to be out there saying some really horrible things about Charlie Kirk before this assassination occurred. You know, calling him a Nazi, calling him a white supremacist, which total lies. The crazy thing is Charlie Kirk was a moderate. His whole thing was having a civil discussion, a civil dialogue. That's what a lot of people have been upset about, too. It's like, geez, you're going to go after Charlie Kirk, the one guy who actually is a moderate. He's none of the things that the left is accuses him of or says they hate. He's never promoted violence. He's a very peaceful guy. His whole thing, Turning Point USA, Turning Point Action, all of that stuff was based on having a civil dialogue, openly discussing ideas, having a debate. He would go to campuses. He would debate people. So here's the issue, though. It's like I think we've got a much deeper problem in our society than just, oh, the left uses some of this rhetoric that could lead to this stuff. And, you know, you see when it comes to the transgender issues and the shootings by these transgender people, you see a lot of the same stuff in terms of, hey, it's just all this rhetoric. It's the Democrats saying that the Republicans are going to try to eliminate the transgender. That's leading to it. Or the Democrats saying that Charlie Kirk is a supremacist and a white Nazi and are all these different things. But, you know, I think it's something deeper than that. It's much, much deeper than that. It's a whole societal-wide turning away from God, turning away from spirituality, obsessing over phones, using electronics, engaging in a life of habitual sin. That's what's leading to all of this violence. And it's also these people that take politics too seriously. You know, folks like me and Aaron Flint, we love politics. We love our country. We do this because we care about the country. There's a lot of people out there on the left, especially, that have turned politics into their religion. And when you turn something like that into your religion, it's a lot easier to justify violence. I think that's unfortunately what we're seeing here.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny breaks and some cloudiness today, you also see some developing showers and storms, mainly in the afternoon. High temperatures from the upper 70s in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. For tonight, looking at some more scattered shower and thunderstorm chances, mainly early. Temperatures head back in the upper 40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. Still looking at more developing showers and storms on Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trobley.
Securing America.
September 11th remains the day America feels anything but secure, as memories of the terrorist attacks 24 years ago remain fresh in most minds. From New York's World Trade Center, to the Pentagon.
There were intense fires following the aircraft's impact into the building.
And Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where United Flight 93 crashed.
The only thing you could see was a big gouge in the earth and some broken trees.
The impact of that day remains in our daily lives. It led directly to the creation of the Department of Homeland Security and the TSA, forever changing airport security and travel processes. 9/11 also led to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the latter of which became America's longest, lasting 20 years. Nearly 7,000 military personnel and almost 8,000 U.S. contractors died during those efforts. Kevin Nugent, Fox News.
It's a memorial 5 years in the making. After the tragic loss of two tow truck operators near Columbus, Montana, the first responder and tow truck community jumped into action to honor the fallen. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We got a chance to catch up with Lori Tribble with the Montana Tow Truck Association. Plus, we've got some incredible photos of that new memorial in Three Forks. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com, or if you've got the app on your phone, you'll see it there.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
You know, it's pretty interesting. After that subway stabbing in Charlotte the other day, a lot of people are out there saying, hey, this changes everything. It's a different world now. But more so than that, even after now with the Charlie Kirk assassination yesterday, even more people are saying, everything is different now. Everything has changed now. I saw a lot of posts from people I would consider pretty moderate, middle-of-the-road people. And they were out there literally posting and saying, I'm now radicalized. I am now radicalized. This has radicalized me. So I think you're going to see a lot of people that were sort of middle-of-the-road, moderate, sort of moderate to left-leaning, moderate to right-leaning, become much further right because of this and stop being so moderate and start realizing that what we're really dealing with here on the left, the violent left, because it's obviously a big problem. The violence is getting completely out of control. I don't blame it on just the rhetoric of the Democrats. And, you know, that's just kind of the easy way out. I think you've got a much deeper spiritual problem and a spiritual rot in this country that's leading people to replace God with politics. And so you see these leftists, they're out there, they actually think that politics is the most important thing in the world and in their life, and so that's why they're willing to destroy their life over these different things and go on to these shootings. But it's just so interesting, too, that it happened the day before 9/11. And, of course, today we remember 9/11. We remember how much our world changed on just that one day. And it's quite telling just how much the world can change just on one day. And that day of 9/11, 2001, changed the world forever. The Charlie Kirk assassination yesterday may go down as well as being, you know, an event that completely changed the world. Now, this is so... I thought about this. I was thinking, you know, do I really want to, on the radio, go into just how revolting and evil some of the reactions were to the Charlie Kirk assassination online? And I really don't want to. I don't even want to give any of them any kind of attention or airtime or anything like that. But just suffice it to say, you know, some of these people were really, really posting some disgusting things and even celebrating his death. And I've heard Democrats here in Montana say they hope Trump dies too and they hope Trump gets assassinated. And I'll tell you this, folks. I've never in my life wished a death upon somebody. I've never in my life celebrated somebody's assassination or death. To me, that seems like, wow, you're crossing a very evil line there into straight up evil, straight up satanic, demonic behavior. I would not ever do that. As much as I dislike some of these Democrats, as much as I dislike communists, as much as I'm opposed to communists and communism and Democrats and leftism and everything like that, I would never, ever, ever wish death upon somebody or celebrate their death. But you see that a lot. You see that a lot on the American left. You see a lot on the global left. I saw a post that was about a world leader had said, the left is always and everywhere a violent force. I'm going to confirm that quote and who that was from, and I'll talk about it here after the break, because if you know it's a pretty powerful saying, you really think about it, and it's just like, wow, this is not a good situation. Now, what's interesting, too, about this is that all of these sort of high-profile crimes are happening at the exact same time that President Trump is engaged in an all-out effort to reduce crime. He federalized Washington, D.C., sent in the National Guard. He sent the National Guard in other places around the country. Of course, then these Democrats in these big cities and play, you know, governors of states like California and Illinois, mayors of places like Chicago and L.A., who are fighting against Trump and not literally not willing to accept the help from President Trump and the resources that the federal government can provide to crack down on crime. And instead, they're just allowing crime to go rampant. Here's a story out of Billings. Downtown Billings having to contract private security to help crack down on crime. This is from Q2. The Downtown Billings Association hosted a meeting on Wednesday morning at the Northern discussing the hiring of a security team to help crack down on crime. The decision comes as the Billings police said they can no longer assign three officers to the downtown area at all times. Instead, will provide two officers. That's when Downtown Billings decided to contract a security team as an alternative option. And so this is just an example. It's like, look, the crime is not just out of control in blue cities. We've got crime problems here in Billings. Downtown Billings CEO Katie Schreiner said, we needed to fill that gap somehow. We partnered with SK Security, and really the idea is just to get more eyes on the street, more bodies on the street, and patrols happening downtown. A large focus of the security team here in Billings is going to be to relocate the homeless, which business owners said is a growing problem. The Northern owner, Mike Nelson, said, I'd have to say there are issues, big issues in downtown Billings now. The pub station president agreed, adding the issue has evolved over the years. Billings has always experienced a homelessness issue in downtown for forever, but downtown Billings is an entirely different place it used to be. So the homeless population has obviously generated safety concerns. Safety is the number one consideration for a lot of these folks. They're talking about the cost of SK security is going to be about $7,000 to $8,000 a month. The Downtown Billings Alliance, my understanding, is basically a group of the businesses that are downtown, and they can pitch in together, and I think during the summer they hire people to water the flowers or things like that downtown, and now they're going to be doing a security officer. The point being is that all of this stuff is tied together, folks. What President Trump is having to do in D.C. and federalizing D.C. and cracking down on crime there, the fight President Trump is in with Chicago and Illinois and places like that over crime, what we have here in Billings, it's all connected. And the Charlie Kirk assassination, it's all connected. It's spiritual rot.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Randy Duke Cunningham has died. He was one of the most decorated military aviators in American history. He inspired the Tom Cruise character Maverick in the hit 1980s movie Top Gun. But he was also one of the most corrupt lawmakers ever to serve in Congress. The former California Republican entered Congress in 1990. He then pleaded guilty to federal corruption charges in 2005, spending 8.5 years in prison for his crimes. As a combat aviator, Cunningham earned the Navy Cross and a pair of Silver Stars for extraordinary bravery. As chair of the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee, Cunningham lived rent-free on a yacht in Washington, belonging to defense contractor Mitchell Wade. A defense contractor purchased Cunningham's home for $1.7 million, hundreds of thousands of dollars above what comparative homes were selling for at the time. An investigation also uncovered handwritten notes where Cunningham wrote out the cost of bribes. Cunningham resigned from Congress, but President Trump pardoned him on the final day of his first term in 2021. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, this week, the Montana Wool Growers Association is hosting its 100th annual ram sale and 12th annual ewe sale in Miles City. And to kick off this year's celebration, Helena rancher Chase Hibbard talked about the rich history of this world-renowned sale.
The producers, you know, shortly didn't take them long to become aware of how they could increase their improve their genetics at a pace that was impossible before. It caught fire, and I think that Montana wool growers and this sale management and this community and this fairgrounds played a significant part in improving genetics for ultimately a very large segment of the U.S. sheep industry.
And he says that Montana State University deserves a lot of credit for helping to set sheep producers up for success.
We were the first sale that I'm aware of in a big way to jump in and really embrace the power of EPDs. The cattle industry was way ahead of us in that regard, and so the technology was there, and we had the fortunate some fortunate things occurred. We had Dr. Nodder from Virginia Tech, who jumped in big time and was a very big help to us doing the scientific part. And we had help from the American Sheep Industry Association to fund some of this work. And so we got the genetic tools pretty early on.
And these high-quality genetics have now become some of the most sought-after by sheep producers near and far who want to improve the genetic output of their own flocks. By the way, the 100th Montana Ram Sale kicks off today at noon at the Eastern Montana Fairgrounds, and you can view and bid online at frontierlivesale.com. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Cattle producers, on September 16th, Western Video Market is headed back to the historic Haythorn Ranch near Ogallala, Nebraska for the 28th year. And this year's sale will kick off with several special program lots of yearlings and big wean calves from the far west, rolling into plains and Rocky Mountain calves and wean calves, featuring several high-quality consignments from throughout Nebraska, Colorado, and South Dakota. Stock cows and bred heifers also sell. For all the details and to watch the sale live, visit WVMCattle.com.
Feed like you mean it. Fall is a critical window for cattle nutrition, and ADM's Roughage Buster is built for this moment. Designed for cattle on mature forages, it delivers a consistent source of rumen-available protein powered by Biorit to fuel microbial activity for improved forage utilization. That means better body condition, more milk, and heavier calves, delivering added profit. When performance matters, Roughage Buster delivers. Learn more at adm.com/beef.
Well, the Trump administration has extended the unofficial comment period on its plan to reorganize the USDA until September 30th after several commenters urged Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins to publish the reorganization plan in the Federal Register and start a formal comment period. On August 1st, the secretary opened a 30-day comment period on the reorganization plan that she announced first on July 24th, which would move 2,600 of the 4,600 USDA positions in the Washington metropolitan area to five hubs around the country, as well as close the South Building across from the USDA's headquarters in Washington, D.C. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, I found the statement from one of the great world leaders that I was just talking about a second ago. And this is Argentine President Javier Milei, one of the great, great world leaders right now. He had posted last night, he said, "My condolences to the family of Charlie Kirk and to all the young people in the world who admired him and listened to him, a formidable disseminator of the ideas of freedom and a staunch defender of the West. He is the victim of another atrocious murder in the midst of a wave of left-wing political violence across the entire region." the left is always, at all times and places, a violent phenomenon full of hatred. The entire world lost an incredible human being. Goodbye. So that's what Javier Milei posted. What a absolutely fantastic statement. It's like, let's just be real here. Let's just be honest with each other, folks. The left is a dangerous, violent movement. Now, they still have free speech, and of course they can continue to engage in this rhetoric, and they can continue to believe in an ideology that has a history of engaging in horrible violence. But every single time there's a crime, they all need to be held accountable, and I fully support everybody saying we need to hold everybody accountable that took part in any of these things, that did anything to support it, et cetera, et cetera. Nancy and Roundup sent in a message. By the way, if you want to send in a message, get the Montana Talks app, send a message on there. I'll be able to read it and respond to it. Nancy says, good morning, David. My opinion is that the brutal murders of both Irina and Charlie represent the dangerous cancel culture. The Judge Teresa Rakes, who allowed the killer of Irina loose, can she be brought to justice and also get responsible for her death? No, you cannot hold judges responsible for that stuff. Charlie Kirk's assassination was very well orchestrated. You think that NGO group may be responsible? Definitely possible. I've been seeing a lot of stuff about that, about how this appears to be quite high level, quite professional. The fact that the killer was able to actually get away and is still not apprehended, some other aspects about it, other people that are more in the know than I am are saying this does appear to be much more sort of planned and orchestrated. And so whether it's an NGO or whether it's a state actor, I mean, who knows? But absolutely think that's a possibility and need to go after him. Nancy continues on. It says, morning, Joe. And MSNBC talk hatred against whites and every conservative. How do we stop them talking without trampling on our First Amendment rights? Thanks, David. My eyes are okay. Nancy, you can't. They can say that. They can go on the air and talk about how horrible white people are and how horrible conservatives. You can't stop them talking. I can't. I mean, frankly, it's a little disturbing you would even say, how do we stop them talking? It's like they have a First Amendment right to speak, just like we've got a First Amendment right to speak. And no, I don't think we need to go out there and try to stop Democrats from talking and stop leftists on the media from talking. Like, no, that's really not. Of course, what we really need as a country is a ground up spiritual revival along the lines of historic great awakenings, great awakenings in American history that have happened. We've had spiritual revivals. That's pretty much the only thing I could see that could help. I wanted to talk a little bit here about the fact that these videos of these shootings and these stabbings and these murders are actually being posted online. I find it a very, very disturbing. And frankly, I haven't seen any of these videos. I'm not going to watch snuff videos. I don't want to watch videos of people dying. I'm not going to watch videos like that. In fact, what I would do is I would encourage everybody out there to go onto your settings in your social media, whether it's, you know, X or Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is, and there's options in there to turn off automatic playing of videos. And so when you're scrolling on X or whatever, looking for the latest news, et cetera, you should not be seeing videos that play automatically, because if you have that setting on, you're going to see people die. You're going to see people getting stabbed to death. You're going to see people getting shot and dying on your screen. And frankly, I just don't think that's good for the soul. I don't think that's good for the spirit to be exposing yourself to that kind of video content. Now, I don't know if necessarily, I don't have any scientific backing for this, but it's just a sense that I have. And so I haven't seen these videos, not going to watch them. But still some very, very disturbing stuff. I can't believe they unfortunately have not caught the shooter for Charlie Kirk. Apparently, there is a manhunt ongoing. They're still looking at a bunch of security footage. I've seen some security footage, get posted, online. And so hopefully that enables them to find it. Got a message from Kat in Sydney. Thank you so much, Kat, for the message. She says, good morning, Montana. Yesterday, the Lord God welcomed one of our earthly angels. Charlie believes in love and in Jesus. Charlie is in heaven looking down on us, and that does give me comfort. I admired Charlie Kirk because he believes in the same principles I believe in, Jesus, truth, and compassion. Charlie's death will not be in vain. I will speak the truth and will not be intimidated. Charlie is a legend. My heart is absolutely broken. The truth matters. Charlie matters, and Charlie's family matters. We will all carry the torch for Charlie Kirk, and that contribution is the embodiment of the way Jesus lived. On this somber day with Charlie Kirk's death and the anniversary of 9/11, we must revive our country through prayer and action. Charlie Kirk will always be remembered, and I promise he will never be forgotten. God bless you, Montana, and God save our country. God bless America. Amen, Kat. Well said. I 100% agree with that. I feel the exact same way. I'm not backing down. I'm actually gearing up to be even more active in the political movement, in the conservative political movement. And here, the funny thing is, they've made Charlie Kirk a hero and a martyr now by doing this. You know, I was never some huge, you know, Charlie Kirk fan. He's quite a bit younger than me, and he was more focused on the younger crowd and stuff, and so he never really did it for me like he did it for, I think, some of the younger generation. But now I'm the biggest Charlie Kirk fan that ever was. Now, all of a sudden, I have this feeling of something that's different about how I feel about Charlie Kirk now because of what since they assassinated him. Now he's like one of my favorites of all time. Great job, Left.
Benefits, Riverside Contracting is now.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Greg, one of the things that Charlie did, I don't know what happened early on in his life, but at 18, it was when he enthusiastically created Turning Point.
Yeah,
the goal of going into the lion's den of these college campuses.
It's so funny because I didn't have that when I was in college. The amazing thing about Turning Point was that it connected you with other people that may think like you or even not even like that, but might not fit in with the orthodoxy of the left-wing campus. So it wasn't like, hey, we're all going to become right-wingers. It was more like, you know, there are other people like you here that may not agree with what's going on. And he reminds me of the late Andrew Breitbart in the sense that it was like, you know, why not? Why not do this? You know, why not challenge this leftist orthodoxy? It doesn't have to be. I don't know if he was that ambitious because, I mean, I don't know if you could foresee something this big happening. But I remember, like, speaking at these events and just walking around and going, like, I could not imagine having this when I was in college. It's insane. And how lucky.
Did you need it then? Or do you think things have changed so much that he was a part of that?
Oh, I think that when I was in school, there was only one side. I went to Berkeley and you kept your mouth shut.
Yeah.
You know, so what he did was he was able to give students the confidence to sit in a classroom and challenge a professor when he says America is the land of the oppressed, the genociders, and this kid will raise his hand and go, you know what, maybe I disagree. It goes back to those three words that I always use. Well, he created a mechanism to share the risk. And you saw, I mean, this was a machine that literally shared the risk. You're not alone. You're going to meet all these people that are just like you. And it's going to be easier.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a lot of power in that. I was going to bring this up, Jesse. I'll give you a couple of statistics just to have a transition here. So he has a nationwide campus reach. 3,500 high school and college campuses have a Turning Point chapter. There are 750,000 student activists. He has 300 full-time staff, 85 million online followers.
Wow.
And you can see also that in the UK and Europe, this is also starting to take a hold a little bit there. Its revenue was $81 million. And they had things like the Professor Watch List Initiative that would try to find a way to root out professors that were discriminating against conservative views or promoting just liberal ideologies. That's really an incredible thing for somebody that young.
Yeah, he would smile if I said that he was the greatest community organizer in American history. But he is. I mean, you name the chapters and the amount of people that he inspired at that level. He is credited with sometimes winning Arizona last election. And what he did on the ground in places like Michigan, the president owes him big time. And the president is obviously incredibly grateful. He's so much more than a campus guy. I mean, this guy was walking in the halls of power for the last several years. He had huge amounts of input on policy. One of the greatest communicators of the generation, tight with the president, with Vance, with Don Jr. It can't be understated how big of a figure he was in this movement. And the fact that they took out a lieutenant with a bullet makes me so angry. And Greg is so right. Two men, Breitbart and Kirk, were taken way too early. And it feels like a piece of America was taken. And this guy loved this country so much. He dedicated his entire life to this job. Charlie never took vacation. I never knew him to take vacation. He always was working. And the fact that he went in, as you mentioned, to these college campuses, he went into the belly of the beast. And he knew these campuses were the kind of the cauldron of anti-Americanism. And he went right in and he watched the professors. And he went right in and he galvanized the students to stand up for themselves and push back and use logic and their gut instincts to change the course of history. And he did. And now it's cool to be conservative when you're young. Mm. I mean, completely flipped the script.
I was thinking about that the other day. Like, who would have thought that we were we'd become mainstream? I got this from my assistant, Kate. She said, Charlie Kirk said he always felt like a bit of an outsider in high school because he was open about his conservative views while most of his peers leaned left. And when he started Turning Point USA, Kennedy, he was 18 years old. He worked from his parents' garage making cold calls to raise money. And this was the mission statement: identify, educate, train, and organize students to promote the principles of freedom, free markets, and limited government. And we are watching here live, Kennedy, the flag being lowered to half-mast in honor of Charlie Kirk's life. This was at the order of the President of the United States, who issued the first statement after Charlie Kirk's death had been confirmed. And these flags will fly at half-mast until 6 p.m. on Sunday evening this weekend. Kennedy, more thoughts?
It's stunning. So, yeah, I'm going to go back to Socrates, who did the very same thing and challenged the bureaucrats and the status quo and those in power because he knew that through using skepticism and philosophy, he would come to the right answer. And he paid with his life. He was sentenced to death. And who was shocked into a career in philosophy to continue the fight? Plato. So there's an entire generation of people who have heard Charlie Kirk's message. They have interfaced with him on campus. They have been moved into action at Turning Point USA events. And now is a time for them to be galvanized to the next stage of their life and take the movement into the next generation and the next direction. I remember being on the Bob Dole 96 Hours to Victory tour, and asking one of his strategists, a Republican strategist, why don't you reach out to younger people? Because I knew I couldn't have been alone. At the time, I was a Republican while I was on MTV, and I was very skeptical of the Clintonian Democrats and the way our direction would lurch leftward if left unchecked. And he said at the time, kids don't vote Republican. You know, what's the point of wasting the time and money? And Charlie Kirk found that philosophy unacceptable. And that's why he is a great American inventor, because this is how the Industrial Revolution went forth, was because of tinkerers and inventors who saw problems and chose to solve them themselves. And he did that from a very young age because he knew that he wasn't the only one who was being ignored. He knew he wasn't the only one who was being shepherded into groupthink. So he decided to make a change because he knew under the right circumstances with the right message, it would become a conflagration.
And let me just read this to you. The RNC has released the following statement on the shooting that took the life of Charlie Kirk. It says, Charlie Kirk was a father, husband, and dedicated patriot who spent his life defending conservative values and inspiring young Americans. Our hearts break for his wife, children, loved ones, and countless supporters across the country. The horrifying violence at Utah Valley University that took the life of Charlie Kirk is utterly appalling. Republicans and Democrats alike must stand united in condemning this brutality that has no place in America. In just a moment, we're going to have a chance to talk with Paul Morrow because we have a situation on our hands where the shooter is still at large. And we'll get an update on that and also the broader discussion with him. I do have actually here a statement from President Obama. Let me read it here. President Obama posted this on X. We don't yet know what motivated the person who shot and killed Charlie Kirk, but this kind of despicable violence has no place in our democracy. Michelle and I will be praying for Charlie's family tonight, especially his wife, Erica, and their two young children. Harold, before we talk to Paul.
When I was in high school, in D.C., a big club on my campus is called the Government Club. And we were divided in liberals and conservatives. Now, frankly, I didn't fully understand what those terms meant. I knew what the vernacular and what the political dialogue at the moment was. And I was president of the club for the liberals. And my friend was the president of the conservatives. We had some of the greatest conversations. Our friendship flourishes today. I'm godfather to one of his kids. We don't agree on everything. I would hope that tonight, as an appreciation and a salute to Charlie, if you are around a family member or a friend or a coworker whom you have disagreements with politically or for that matter on any matters, find something before you leave them this afternoon or this evening that you agree on and hug. Let us understand the debate is good. I shared around this table when I was in law school, we'd have these great raging debates in con law and at the constitutional law. And I would take my friends that were on one side and take the friends that were on my side and I'd have dinner. My dad was kind of about the dinners on Wednesday night there on State Street. And we'd sit and the only rule was that if someone said something that deconstructed or defeated or undermined your argument, you had to concede. Not stop, but concede and talk about the answers and the things that you wanted to see happen. And we had some of the great discussions.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
This was a young 31-year-old young man, had his entire life ahead of him. The conversations we've had, he was so hardworking, so smart, really believed in everything that he said and fought hard for his beliefs. You know, young family, wife, two young children that will never know their hero father. Somebody that was willing to put himself at risk at all times and go into hostile environments for conservatives, which I'll be honest, one time I joked with him. I said, why? These people are crazy. He goes, that's why I go. Godspeed, Charlie Kirk. Our prayers, love, thoughts with him, his wife, his family. We'll continue our coverage on the other side.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Well, surprise, surprise, a little late, but I guess better late than never. The Fed Chair Jerome Powell has now fueled hopes for a rate cut. And guess what? The price of gold, it went higher. Now, safe haven assets like gold and silver tend to move higher when rates are cut. Now, that's exactly why I have partnered with the award-winning company Gold Co. I'm a customer just like you. They sell precious metals like gold and silver, and they do a darn good job with it. They also help educate you. They keep it simple. So if you're ready to learn how Gold Co. can help protect your savings with gold and silver, give him a call. It's 855-815-GOLD. On the web, it's HannityGold.com. They will send you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. And you can also learn how you can get 10% in free bonus silver. It's the best silver offer out there. Don't miss this one. 855-815-GOLD or HannityGold.com. One more time, 855-815-GOLD. On the web, HannityGold.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny breaks and some cloudiness today, you'll also see some developing showers and storms, mainly in the afternoon. High temperatures from the upper 70s in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. For tonight, looking at some more scattered shower and thunderstorm chances, mainly early. Temperatures head back in the upper 40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. Still looking at more developing showers and storms on Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Coming up on Thursday's show, 9-11, I'll be set up from the third floor fan window area of the Montana State Capitol. We've got some special guests joining us, but if you want to join us for our live show from the Montana Capitol, come on down as well. Montana Talks live from the Montana State Capitol Thursday. Then Friday, I'll be set up inside Grizz Stadium at the Canyon Club for the military alumni reunion. Montana Talks statewide 9 to 10. Hi, I'm
from Mundakistan to the Flathead. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in here for Aaron Flint for the first couple hours before Aaron goes live from the Montana State Capitol here at 8 a.m. By the way, that's Noble with a K. I'm an attorney here in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan, L-C-T-R-F-A-N. I do political commentary and stuff like that on my personal time online and here on the radio. Had to play a little Fox News audio there during that last segment. Had to take a quick break, and we are your Fox News affiliate, so wanted to hear what the Five was saying last night. Here's a little story that's been getting a lot of attention here in Montana. Gianforte has apparently ordered the restart of planning for the Eastern Montana State Hospital. This story came out a couple of weeks ago when people heard that the state was planning to build the new state mental hospital here in Billings, I guess instead of in Warm Springs. And I know a lot of our local people here in Billings were up in arms about that, not necessarily wanting that to be here, or at least wanting more input on it and more say on certain things. But apparently, according to MTN News, this just posted yesterday, Governor Gianforte is directing state agencies to resume planning for a new $26.5 million state mental health hospital in Eastern Montana. By the way, can I just say, I am not looking forward to over the next couple of years to constantly seeing our state politicians and our state leaders talking about, oh, look at this great new program. Oh, this ribbon cutting. Oh, look at this ribbon cutting. Look at this new building. Look at this new program. Oh, look at this new funding for this. Look at, because you know what? Every single time I see stuff like this, every time I see stories like this, all I can think about is how they failed to cut spending. And I don't even care about the stupid little debate that these legislators in Helena have about whether spending went up 2% or whether spending went up 18%. I don't care about that little debate that all these little Republicans in Helena love to have amongst themselves. Oh, did it go up 18% or did it go up 2%? That's the big debate amongst our Republican legislators and our Republican state leaders in Helena, is whether spending went up 2% or 18%. And it really upsets me because we need spending cuts. We need negative percentage. I want a negative sign in front of the percentage growth of spending. We need to have cuts, spending cuts, not just going up 2%, not just going up less than inflation, actual cuts. Anyway, so here we go, $26.5 million. And who knows about this new mental health out? Maybe this is money that actually did need to be spent. Maybe this was actually one of the, but my point is that I keep seeing it over and over and over again with the governor out there having ribbon cutting ceremonies and these little announcements and speeches. And every single time I just think about There's more of my money. There's more of my money. There's more of all of my friends and neighbors and family's money that, you know what, they could really use and I could really use just to get by out here in this this economy. And of course, we just got new inflation data here this morning, as well as jobless claim data. Apparently, there's a massive surge, massive surge in jobless claims here with the week ending September 6th. Inflation, I think, came in just at 2.9% on the yearly basis. So the job market, of course, the job market with the, I'm not sure what that sound was. The job market data coming out last week, losing 900,000 jobs with the revisions from the 2024 through March of 2025 period, really, really showing that, you know, the job market here in the United States really started to struggle and go down during the Biden administration. And I think you're just seeing sort of some of that continued job market weakness, which, of course, makes sense. I mean, the Federal Reserve, you know, had to raise rates significantly to slow the economy down to try to tamp down on the Biden tester regime caused inflation. So makes perfect sense. You know, they blew out the budget. They ran up inflation up to 9%, 10%. And then from there, the Fed had to raise rates, massively raise rates, and that causes the job market to slow down. And that's why you see the job market being the way it is. That's how it works. We'll be right back. David Noble and Aaron Flint.
You got me.
The galaxy's safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID. Or visit your local DMV. And then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
KBUS.